Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, read and record the write-up for this month's focus. As you listen to the recording, look to see where you suffer with this particular content. Jot that down. Example, the content is sexuality. Perhaps you feel resistance to exploring this topic in the context of this retreat. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my God. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hi. This is Helga from Charleston.
Hey.
Hey,
hi,
Helga.
Sarah.
Hey.
Hi.
What
are you seeing? you what?
I said, I'm feeling better.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Better, so yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so I feel like I can participate more.
All right. That's very good. That's an argument for feeling healthy, huh?
Yeah, really. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, when I read the assignment, what for me the operative word was surrender.
Mm.
And in my life, you know, it's like I feel like the times when I have really, really surrendered into my sexuality and really shared that with another person, ego immediately came and made sure that that relationship wouldn't last.
Uh-huh.
And the last time that happened, it got me sick. So I got so sick that so for ego, you know, surrender is like something that needs to be avoided at all costs. And
yeah.
I realized, I think, you know, the conversation in my head about, you know, surrendering is, you know, it's too vulnerable. Then I need somebody, I want somebody. And I remember almost, you know, very early in my life, I made that decision never to need anybody. And that's how I've lived my life in Big Chunk.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And that has created such suffering, you know.
Yes, yes. Well, so I just want to go back to one of the very first things that you said, which I think is so important for all of us to keep at the front of conscious awareness. So there you are in a relationship with someone where you are, we could say, giving yourself completely to this relationship, to this other person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so what we know is that is the most threatening thing, just about the most threatening thing that can possibly happen for ego.
Mm-hmm.
And so ego needs to get rid of that relationship, needs to
mm-hmm.
get rid of that person. But it doesn't
yep.
say you need to get rid of this person because this is really going to mess up my ability to control your life. It starts It starts in with, what's wrong with this? Well, this
yeah.
is dangerous. This is scary. You're too vulnerable here. What if this other person is it? What if? And of course, what we also know is that's going on for the other person too, right? Because ego is no more
yeah.
excited for anybody else to get out of its control than it is excited for that to happen with you. And so here
yeah.
we have two people who are trying to come together to love one another as best they can, and there's ego just fighting with everything it's got to end that relationship.
Yep. Yep.
And that,
yeah. And you know,
that's so
yeah.
important to see, isn't it? I mean, just that.
Yeah, I mean,
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's like, it is, I mean, I have never seen this so clearly than in this
yes.
last relationship, how that actually works. You know, and it wasn't,
yes.
you know, it's like, so what immediately starts to happen is it looks for the faults in the other person. You know,
yes.
I can see it now. It's like it's just
yes.
scurrying around looking, you know, how it can point out all the deficiencies in that other person. And that's
yes.
just the beginning, you know. And as I said, in my case, it absolutely made me sick to the point where I couldn't have sex anymore, where that was off the table for quite a while, you know, and then so diminished. And I'm looking at that now, and it's just, I can't even believe it, you know.
It's shocking. It's shocking
it
when
is.
We see it so clearly. And now, again, of course, I always go to the, and thank God you've seen it, right? Because it's not like it was, things were going to get any better if you didn't see it. And, of course, what then the same voices want to say is, yeah, but what if you'd seen this decades ago? I mean, your whole life would have been completely, yeah, sure, uh-huh. That is undeniably true. But we don't see it until we see it. And
yep.
So to get it, and of course, again, the other point that I always need to make is this is a process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is going on with everything else in people's lives as well, right? We've seen it mm-hmm. go on with money. We've seen it go on with mm-hmm. healthcare, self-care. We've seen it go on mm-hmm. with everything that would possibly take a human being's life into the light, into joy and love and kindness. Right? That's what threatens ego, and you've seen how it fights that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and what I realized, what I thought of was, you know, that word surrender, you know, also comes up in, you know, in spiritual practice.
Yeah.
You know, and the same, that same resistance to that
yes.
is operating in that realm as well.
That's
you know,
right.
It's like really
in fact,
letting go
in
into,
exactly.
into the oneness, you know, I mean.
Yeah, in exactly the same way, right? And so it starts scurrying around, as you say, looking for what's wrong with them. Well, they're mm-hmm. this and they're that and looking mm-hmm. for evidence, proof. There's something wrong with that. There's something, right? And until eventually a person believes it, right? Because we're trained to believe that that voice
yeah.
is speaking the truth and that we're somehow in danger and it's going to protect us. And so it leaves that relation. The person leaves that relationship too. Until finally a person gets to the point where they're sitting on the couch by themselves with absolutely no support whatsoever except that negative voice in the head that's trying to kill them.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Hallelujah, sister. Yeah. What a rocky road to get there, right? But
oh my
to
God.
See it so clearly, yeah. it's just everything. Because
yeah.
as
yeah.
the connection that you're making with the spiritual world, it is the same process. And so this, you're far, far better positioned to be able to surrender to all that is. Now that you have seen what ego is doing to you on a personal relationship, sexual level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, my dear.
Okay.
I'm so
thank
glad
you.
You're feeling better. All right.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Helga. It really does come down to whether we choose to be vulnerable to life or vulnerable to ego. And I think
mm-hmm.
that constant conversation that prevents us from being vulnerable to anything other than ego is really, as you were pointing out, constructed so that we don't understand, we don't ever experience the safety that comes from being vulnerable to life.
Life. Well, yes, because I think this is the point that you're making. Only ego is vulnerable, right?
Yes.
We're not vulnerable. The heart is not mm-hmm. vulnerable. Our authentic nature is not vulnerable, right? Life is not vulnerable. Only ego is vulnerable. And when it projects that vulnerability onto us and we believe that it is speaking for, that it's, you know, it's me speaking, that I don't want to be vulnerable. When we believe that, we are vulnerable. The only vulnerability we will actually ever experience.
Mm-hmm.
We're vulnerable yeah. to the hatefulness of ego.
Yes. Internally yeah. and externally.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a process, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Dan. Hi, from Los Angeles.
Hey, Dan.
Hey. Man, it was something to listen to the recording of the poem at the very beginning of the focus, just over and over in my ears, just being whispered in. The word that arose, I just haven't felt that. I felt so treasured. That was the word, just so treasured. And that was a miracle right there. Because I was feeling treasured. Mm-hmm. So obviously, hey, I know the feeling.
Yes, precisely. That's what we're going for. Right?
I didn't have
now
to go find somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and if we extend that, you know that experience. You can experience that anywhere, anytime, with anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a miracle right off the bat. And then the source of suffering is physical intimacy is seen as transactional. And even more than that, that one person is always going to take advantage of the other. So it's being see who's going to be the one who, quote unquote, wins. Yeah. What you said earlier, that's totally the process in money, too. If I'm going to go buy something, it's going to be a transaction where one person wins and one person loses. So just seeing that process is, and it's, realization in different content is, again, just fantastic. To see that as the root of all this, not this particular content or that particular content.
Right.
And
that person, right? Not that person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's even better.
Right?
Yeah.
So, to stop projecting, stop letting ego project that win onto you or onto a partner.
Right.
Because only ego wins. There's no loving happening, right? There's just ego winning.
And so that's what I haven't seen it quite that clear. It tells me someone else is trying to take advantage of me, but that's a projection. And what is happening is that ego is taking advantage of me. That's kind of the root here.
That's exactly it.
The fact, when you see something, this is one of the beautiful things to me about this practice. When you see something show up a couple, and even just two different pieces of content, you're like, whoa, I'm reading this.
Yeah. We're onto this here. Yeah. And Dan, what just dropped in as you were describing that is that our relationship with ego is transactional from ego's perspective. Yeah. It's always trying to win, and it takes it hard when the human wins. When you're present and you see it and you don't make a choice for it, it's a sore loser, and it's going to come back and try to get you the next time. So it would say, you're going to buy something, only one person wins and one person loses in that. But when we start seeing that actually, whether I get a deal or I get schnookered, ego wins.
Because I'm in that place. I'm in that.
That's right. Because I'm operating out of ego's. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So,
what to see there, huh?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited for the next.
Me too. In fact, I told Ashwini this morning when we checked in before the call, I said, I'm so excited for this month because building on what we've already done and this, money and sex. I mean, these are the biggies, right? which is why we start off with self-care, right? Let's get as centered as we can before we go into this. But just watching how this builds and how the clarity comes to us is very exciting.
Yeah. I'm
all right.
So grateful. So. Thank you.
More soon. Me too, Dan.
Gotcha. All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Dan. It is fun to see the same pattern revealed across content, right, Sherry? Because then the lack of taking it personally becomes so much more accessible.
The ability not to take it personally becomes so much more accessible. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
we see it happening with everybody. We see it across all this content. Well, you know, ego trying to make it about me, that's getting harder and harder for ego.
Right, and then it's so clear that it's about ego because the attributes are universal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, we have a lot of callers, Sherry, so I'm just going to keep moving down the list. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Deepa from Novato.
Good morning, Deepa.
I'm so grateful to be on this call. I did not have quite the experience that Dan did when listening to the Rumi poem. My first time listening to it was a pang of longing or sadness that no one has ever felt this way about me. But when I listened to this again, I found myself asking, have I felt this way about anyone?
Aha. Aha. And?
And I'm not sure I have. And then I turned to, isn't this a universal longing? Don't we all want some part of this? And so if this remains in the realm of longing, then that's what's causing the suffering.
Yes. Yes. And go ahead.
Oh, just that poem then translated for me into an expectation. And so, the expectation that there must be someone that I haven't found yet that will fulfill this longing for me. And then once again, when I put this in the basket of expectation, that translates into suffering for me.
Yes, yes. So I would like to bring it a little closer to home, if I may, because I suspect, let me see how I want to let this drop in, how this phrasing is, that this might be a leap, okay, and it might not. I think I can give ample proof of what I'm proposing here. I would say that what that poem was indicating is how life feels about us.
Wow. That's beautiful.
That's how adored and in Dan's word, how treasured we are. And that the proof of that is that we feel it. What's happened is that we have been fool tricked. And of course, I'm going to say by ego, into feeling that and then leaving that feeling in order to long for that feeling with someone else.
Beautiful.
Does that all kind of hang together?
It absolutely does. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And the other place, now I know we're talking about sexuality, but for me, sexuality, sensuality, you know, it all gets very mushed in there together. And so to look at how we experience that oneness, how we, the moments in our lives when that longing is fulfilled, when we feel that we do belong, that we are known in, that's in quotes, but known by life. And so, since I know a little bit about you, I'm going to say that there are times when you are creating that you feel that oneness. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. And you see the beauty and you want to express, you want to not only take that beauty in, but you want to then have it come through you and back out again so that it can be represented or it can be made available not only for you to enjoy, but for others to enjoy.
Yes.
True?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know this, but kind of in the way we were talking about with Helga, I suspect that this is the place that we're coming to with these explorations. That as long as we are looking for fulfillment from a place of deprivation, we will always experience the deprivation. And as people have been pointing at, ego will be able to push the fulfillment away by finding something wrong with whatever is going on. But when we're living in that oneness and that fulfillment, then we are able to open to fulfillment in a wholly new way.
Yes, thank you. I believe I'm beginning to experience that with a friendship that I've discovered after a long time.
Uh-huh.
And I believe I have those moments in that friendship.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then as we've experienced, we have those moments, we're present to those moments, they expand. Yeah. And then we're experiencing that somewhere else. It's kind of magically in another moment. And it's so that image of connecting jewels together.
Yes.
Like a necklace, right?
Yes. Yeah. A necklace of light beads.
Yes. Yeah. All
Thank
right.
You, Thank you.
Thank you, Deepa.
Thanks, Deepa. Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Who's there?
Hi, it's Karen from Wisconsin.
Oh, hello, Karen.
Hi. Well, I just am enamored with the idea of sex without suffering. That alone is...
What a concept, huh?
So that's kind of what I recorded about, just the possibility of no suffering, you know, and I guess I can't control whether or not the other person, if my partner suffers, but that would be my intention, that nobody suffers, that there can be sexuality expressed without suffering. That's beautiful. I really love the Rumi poem, and I just love the idea. I mean, I just know it, that there's so much attention on me and appreciation from life. And it's just like when I watch my granddaughter, you know, everything she does is adorable. I just love her.
Right.
What are you going to do next? You know, it's so cute.
Yeah. Yeah, she
and
exists. She's perfect. Right.
She's so cute. So perfect, and it's just like everything, you know, just, and her little lips are just like these just little rosebuds that just, and her smile is, you know, giant, these cute little teeth, you know, they're just kind of big spaces. It's so cute. But, and to have a, you know, I mean, I guess that's really, for me, is like just being with that feeling of being loved and adored and feeling it right, you know, just echo back as I love and adore what I look at. And practicing, I just love that. It can just be a practice, and then what will be added on a necklace, you know, maybe will be a sexual relationship that could be like that, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, what you're saying is just critical, that we want everything to be like that.
Everything, yeah, everything.
Right?
Everything.
And there are these particular contents that have been so held out of that experience of just living in adoring, living in the perfection, just that just joyful that it exists, that we exist, that it exists, that everything exists without that constant duality of conditioned mind. This is it. That shouldn't it be? What's that? What's happening? What's going on with that? What does that mean? What is that? Well, you shouldn't have you with you. Well, but they would. I mean, that's why we want to realize what that conversation in the head is and extricate ourselves from it. Because when you're there with your granddaughter, you're not, I project, listening to that stuff. You're not listening to a voice saying, well, but, you know, if she were a little more this, a little more that, or, you know, I'm really worried because she just, yeah, it's ridiculous. You would never do it.
Yeah, we never do it. Never do it. But then I see how much I do that when I'm in a, like, especially a sexual relationship. I mean,
yeah.
I for sure do that. I do that to myself. I do that to them.
Yeah. And, well, you don't do that, Karen.
No, right. Oh.
Right. Yeah. So, I know you know that. Just a little reminder. Sure. Right. And so, as Helga was pointing at, now that you've seen it so clearly, because that's what you're going for. So here you have a romantic partner, a sexual relationship, and you want to be able to see that person the way you see your granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, what that means is, okay, then we have to move in together. We have to get married. We have to, actually, no, we don't. That's another one of those conversations in the head, right? I'm just practicing having this experience in each moment, wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. And when it happens to be this, if it happens to be a sexual relationship, then I'm practicing this in that.
Yeah.
So it's so fun, isn't it, to realize you know how to do it.
Yeah. I know how to do it.
We do know how to do it. Yes, we do.
I know how to do it.
And then those voices come in and say, well, but not in this circumstance. Well, not. Well, no, that's not. But no, yes, actually, yes. Mm-hmm. So fun.
And I don't expect anything back from my granddaughter.
No.
And that's where
absolutely
I think
not.
Ego trips me up because they're like, well, he's not loving you as much as you love him and blah, blah, you know. But,
oh, right. And you actually don't know that, which is another good thing to remind ourselves of. So all you really want for your granddaughter is for her to be happy. Feel loved and be happy. Okay. Well, let's, you know, there we go. There's a good practice. And, of course, it's true. Sex is, you know, kind of for most people, sex is out at the end of that continuum, right? So we practice with the little children, we practice with the kittens and the puppies, and we practice with our best friends, and we practice with the flowers and the trees, and we practice, right? And we're building up to, okay, how about with this other grown-up person who's just as conditioned as I am and has just as much stuff going on inside as I do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a great practice opportunity. I'm ready.
All right. Happy to be here, right?
Happy to be here.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Karen. And, Terry, that brings us to the end of another marvelous show. And the thing that was dropping in those last two conversations, I mean, especially from the last one, it was so clear on the previous one, right? I mean, when we look at a little child and feel that absolute oneness or love, to talk about that in the same breath as sexuality in a conditioned way is perverse, right? We're not being sexual when we're talking about a little child. But that's exactly the dichotomy, right? That the place we go to in love is not available if we're listening to that conversation.
Yes. Yes. And, oh, go ahead.
Well, and that the ability to duplicate the sense of fulfillment I feel or the oneness I feel in certain circumstances is not allowed in other circumstances, and so I remain in the realm of longing.
Yes, and so I don't know if this is what you're pointing at with this exactly, but if I'm dancing, my body is doing one thing. If I'm digging a garden bed, my body is doing something else. If I'm rocking a baby, my body is doing something else. If I'm having sex, my body is doing something else. Why does any of that dictate whether my heart is opened or closed? Whether I'm
that's exactly
or not.
It. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I love what you said, that it's easier to access that place with kittens and babies and flowers and trees. But to be mm-hmm. able to be, as Helga was pointing out, that vulnerable, that open, mm-hmm. that fulfilled, mm-hmm. that oneness, when we're interacting in the places where we're most conditioned.
Yeah.
If
this is high level. Right? We're
yeah,
not denying
yeah,
that this
completely.
Is high-level practice. all we're saying is we're going to do it.
Yes. Well, and what I think you said is that we know how to do it. In both those last two conversations,
yes.
we know how to do it.
Yes, yes, we
it's
do.
It's not
yeah.
in that absolute sense of no that ego says it's not possible or you don't know how or it's never going to happen or any of those things.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and we got to go. I understand that, so I'm just going to say this one last thing to underline this one last thing that what we're looking for is in us, and when we find
yes.
that, then it's available outside us. But until it is, it isn't. So
mm-hmm. yes.
All right. Well, I bet we have an assignment.
We do. Answer this very non-Zen question: why do you want to work with this particular issue? Record and listen. Note, the obvious answer is, I don't want to suffer. So we encourage you to go beyond the obvious answer.
Right. All right. Very good. Very fun. Thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Thank you, everyone. Go happy.